Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
Good evening, happy Wednesday, and welcome everybody to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight we are going to be looking at the prophecies of Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospels, talking about the days of Lot and the days of Noah. What exactly did Jesus mean when he talked about the days of Lot and the days of Noah, saying that the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation would be very, very similar to this time period? On this edition of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at ahead to the dispensation that comes in right after we get out of here on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. And let me tell you, it's a doozy. As with all dispensations in the Bible, and we're going to talk about this for a bit tonight, our present church age is going to end in failure, as foretold to us in Revelation chapter 3. The exceptions being, of course, those brave souls that answer the knock on the door that we read about in Revelation 3:20. And hopefully, that is most of us here in the NTEB Global Remnant Church. But the age itself will end in failure, as will the dispensation of the time of Jacob's trouble that comes in after us. We are so close to the pre-tribulation rapture right now. We're watching a lost and dying world preparing themselves to meet and greet with the Antichrist. As such, the days of Lot and Noah are right now just off stage, waiting to be tapped in to the ring. Tonight's Bible study on the end times will give you a fresh insight on what might just be taking place in 2021 that could very well close out the church age. You really need to spend less time with the daily news and more time in the Ecclesiastes 8:4 word of a king, because Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all around you while they have you distracted with impeachments and fake riots and fraudulent elections. Jesus tells us in the gospel that the time of Jacob's trouble will be like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. When I look out my window, that's exactly what I see forming on the horizon and getting closer by the hour. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathering right now in the chat room, Lord, and people listening live around the world, across America and around the world, as we like to say. And Lord, we want to redeem the time. Your word tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. And it's never been more obvious and never been more apparent how evil the time is that we find ourselves in. So, Lord, we ask you to meet with us tonight. We ask you, Father God, to give us a fresh unction from your word, a fresh blessing and power and endowment from your Holy Spirit, and open our eyes and ears to the truth of your prophetic word that we can have a better understanding of what we're looking at every day that we live in 2020 and 2021. And I don't even know if I can say 2022. Because we may just be out of here before then. So, Lord, you decide. You call the shots. You lead. We'll follow, God. And your word says, follow me. That's what you said. That's what you said to Peter. In John 21, you said, follow me, Peter. And Peter followed you to the cross, his own cross, where he was crucified. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And where did Paul follow you to, Lord? He followed you to a Roman execution, and he's our apostle. You picked him, and he tells us to follow him the way he followed you. And that's some high cotton, Lord. That's some big stuff right there. And Lord, we just pray that you would really sober us up, Lord. I don't mean from alcohol or for drugs or anything like that, but give us a sober mindset that we can rightly discern the times in which we live. And we commit this time to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad to see the chat room nice and full. And it's so exciting to see so many people excited about the Word of God. And tonight is a topic that is going to cover some incredible things. And we're going to talk about the days of Lot and Noah. And it may just be some new information for some of you. We've covered this topic multiple times before, but I do have some new information and some new things to talk about, and it might just be a little bit shocking that these days that we live in are so... It's incredible how close we are. I almost completely lost the power of speech because I'm thinking about how close we really are right now, and it really is awesome. And I'm excited because this is why we assemble. The Bible says that we are to not neglect the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is, and so much more as we see the day approaching. For the Bible-believing Christian in the church age, the day that is approaching for us is getting out of here on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. For the generation that we leave behind, what they're going to get is the day of the Lord. And that's not fun. That's some tough stuff. And we get out of here in the rapture, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to experience some tough stuff ourselves. I talked last week about we're going to get pulled out of here in the rapture, but it's going to be like the very tips of our shoelaces are going to be melting as we get pulled up and out of here. And that's how it's going to go. That's how it's going to go. And we're not going to get out of here untouched and unscathed. We're going to get out of here with a couple of fresh scars because the battle is raging. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And Paul says that we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that we may please him who has chosen us to be a soldier.
Soldier bound for soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior come. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who Savior come.
In 2 Timothy 2:1, we read the following, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Now more than ever, the analogy that Paul uses, the metaphor that Paul uses, that Christians are soldiers in an army. And of course, from a doctrinal perspective, Revelation 19:14 shows us in the heavenly army as soldiers on white horses, following King Jesus into battle. But now more than ever, when we see this country is on the verge of absolute collapse tonight, and 20,000 militia have been dispatched to Washington, D.C. Now, there are those that would have you to believe that the military that you see, the tens of thousands of soldiers that you see being sent to guard the Capitol, and more show up every single day, they would have you to believe that there's going to be some last-minute effort by the Trump team, and he signed the Insurrection Act. And there are those who believe that those soldiers that are there now are going to arrest Pelosi and Schumer and all those Democrats because they knowingly certified a false election result. That's the scuttlebutt. That's what everybody's talking about. But is that going to happen? You know what? At this point, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen, but I really don't care either. And let me tell you why I don't care. I don't care because the souls of men are more important. Countries come and go. Even America. America, when you look at other civilizations and other nations, it's a very young nation. Rome has been around for 2,500 years, and France and England and Germany, all those are very old nations. Israel, of course, going back 3,500 years. America's only been around for about 244, 245 years. But in the ultimate scheme of things, it really doesn't matter if the Trump team pulls out the win and has Pelosi arrested. It would make for some very interesting television. And I, you know, personally, I would love to see that happen. But you shouldn't be counting on that. That shouldn't be what is the main thing that consumes your thoughts. You should be thinking about all the lost people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, and how can you witness to them for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, here we have this beautiful brand new studio in St. Augustine, and every single day I see people walk past my front window and they're in a hurry. So what did I do? I got a big sticker that says Jesus Saves, and I put it right on the front window. And every single day I see dozens of people stopping to look at the bottom of my front window where it says Jesus Saves. I don't have to say a word. Now, if they come inside or they knock on the door, I'll give them a tract, I'll give them a Bible, I'll talk to them about the Lord. But you've got to look at your life and how can you be a witness in every opportunity. If you put a sticker on your car window, that witnesses to everybody who drives past you. When this COVID lockdown thing first started and I had on my John 3:16 KJB mask, I would walk through the grocery store and every single person would look at my face. Well, the mask, because you couldn't see my face. Every single person that I passed looked and read John 3:16. So we've got to look for ways to witness in every aspect of our life. Vocal witness, silent witness, whatever you can do, that's what we've got to be doing. And we really need to be spending less time worrying about politics and more time worried about lost souls who are going to hell. Now, speaking of that, speaking of what we're going to be talking about tonight, I want to play this clip for you. And now we have over 200 people in the chat room. So I'm going to play this clip now because I want you to hear how Hollywood thinks of eternity. There's a comedian. She's not very funny, but she's been very successful and she's very popular among the Hollywood people. Her name is Sarah Silverman. And a couple of nights ago, I almost thought this was a joke. When I first heard it, it sounded like it was parody or satire. But this is Sarah Silverman, and she's a comedian, she's an actress, and this is what she posted on Twitter just about three nights ago. Take a listen to Sarah Silverman, Hollywood actress and comedian, and she desperately wants you to know something about your eternity. What do you think it might be? Here she is.
If you're in the range of my voice right now and you're someone who believes and fears hell, let me release you of that fear right now. There is no hell. I promise you. I promise you. I mean, what do I know? But I believe it with my whole heart. I mean, I was in New York before COVID. I was in New York and some kids were leaving. A Catholic school had just let out. And they were leaving with their, you know, the kids were walking out of the school. And I couldn't help myself. I go, there's no hell. And one boy looked back. He goes, what? I go, I'm an adult and I'm telling you, I promise you there is no hell. And the friend I was with said, you can't tell other people's kids there isn't hell. I was like, I guess, but like, what am I ruining hell for them? But if you are listening to me and you fear hell, please let me release you of it. And I promise you're not going to be a crueler person because you don't believe in hell. It feels good to be good. It feels good to be kind. You know, you're still going to make the same mistakes either way. But I promise you that if there's hell, may God strike me dead right now.
Well, that's Sarah.
No God.
She wants you to know that there is no hell. And she says, now it's interesting that she's Jewish. And this is what the Jewish people, the prophets, have to say. Did you know that the word hell in your King James Bible appears 54 times and over half of those times is the Old Testament? Deuteronomy 32:22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Job 26:6, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Psalm 19:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Well, actually, I just gave you two Psalms. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. And Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not suffer, thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. That's a prophecy of Jesus Christ on the cross. And over and over and over in the Bible, it warns you. The Bible begs you to understand that hell is a real thing. It's a real place. It burns with actual fire. It burns with actual flame. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross for you and for me and for Sarah Silverman. Jesus went to the cross to make a payment to release you and I from the consequence of our sins, which is eternity in hell. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a hell. And if you die unsaved, you are going to go there. So why would people like Sarah Silverman even waste the time to make a recording, to make an announcement, to send out a tweet begging you to not believe that hell is a real place? Well, this is how the devil operates in our day. And the world does not want you to believe in the reality of what comes in eternity. If Sarah Silverman was to die today, she's obviously not saved. She would go to the very place that she just spent a minute and 43 seconds trying to convince you that doesn't exist. Isn't that a funny thing? But that's what it's like when you're lost. That's what it's like when you don't know Jesus Christ. If you don't stand for something, as the old expression goes, you'll fall for anything. And I don't know about you, but I put my hope and faith and my trust not in works of righteousness that I have done or can do or will do. I put my hope and my trust and my faith in the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who says in John 10, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. I serve a risen Savior who is so powerful that he can not only raise himself from the dead by his own power, he'll raise me and you if you believe, if you're saved, by his own power as well. Aren't you glad that you're not going to hell? Pray for Sarah Silverman. Add her to your prayer list.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying. Where I would go, I was looking and buying. So hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. I'm not going to hell.
One of the important things about witnessing for the born-again Christian is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just below that great verse that talks about being a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But then it continues. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's what he did for us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. But then look what it says after that. And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, that's me and you if you're saved, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here? Paul is telling you that if you're born again, you've become a new creature, and God has reconciled your sin debt to himself, paid in full through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. But it doesn't stop there. After we have received such an amazing gift, after we have become partakers of this reconciliation, Paul says, now we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, by preaching, teaching, handing out tracts, telling lost people that hell is real and that they don't have to go. And we are now used by God to reconcile other people to God through Jesus Christ by the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the grace of God. This is why witnessing and personal work is so very important, especially now with all this crazy stuff going on. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. I have so much to talk to you guys about, and we have a ton of scriptures that we have to go through. We're looking at the days of Noah and the days of Lot, because Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns at the second coming, not the rapture, it's going to be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. And I'm going to show you tonight from the Bible and from the headlines that the days of Lot and the days of Noah are already in place. That's how close that we are to getting out of here on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. So the question that I have for you tonight is, are you ready?
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and we ask for your blessing on tonight's program, on tonight's Bible study. Lord, we pray for the prayer requests that people have, and we pray tonight, Lord. Anna has a prayer request for a girl named Sammy. She's a Christian who has fallen away and she's 5 weeks pregnant and she's thinking about getting an abortion. She's been pleaded with to not have one. But those pleas are falling on deaf ears. And Anna says, please pray for the life of Sammy's baby to be saved and for Sammy to be saved as well. Anna also says that she is waiting on a COVID test and she has a lot of chest pain and pressure. So she's asking for prayer for Anna and the unborn baby, for Sammy with the unborn baby. But Anna is also asking for prayer for herself. She's waiting on a COVID test and she's having some pain and discomfort. R.R. Ryder says, I have prayer requests for unsaved Jewish people who live here. And he wants to lift up Dave Frank and Barbara Rose. And R.R. said that I had a small Gideon pocket Bible. I love those little Gideon pocket New Testaments. I had a small Gideon pocket Bible that I gave to Barbara. So we have to pray for the salvation of these dear Jewish souls, Dave, Frank, and Barbara Rose. We're also going to pray for Sarah Silverman, who does not want our prayer. And if she knew that we were praying for her, she would probably mock us and she would probably curse us. But guess what? We're going to pray for her anyway. And why would we do that? Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And we are to take that very, very seriously. And we're also going to pray for all those people who are part of our NTEB church family, who are suffering, who have needs, who need to have food on the table and clothes on their back and a roof over their head. These are rough times for a lot of people. So, Lord, we ask you to hear us tonight. We lift up Dave Frank and Barbara Rose and Sarah Silverman. Lord, all three of those people, they're your chosen people. They're Jews, Lord. And they don't know you. They reject you. But we pray, Lord, that you would remove the scales from Dave and Barbara's and Sarah Silverman's eyes, that they could see you for who you are, that they could see you, that you're the Messiah. We pray for Sammy, who's pregnant with a baby. 5 weeks. That baby is tiny. That baby could fit in your pocket. We pray, Lord, that you would save Sammy and you would allow that baby to live and you would save that baby's soul. And Anna, Lord, who requested prayer, she's having a lot of chest pain and pressure. And amazingly, she's here for the Bible study. And what that tells me is she really wants to hear from you, God. So we just lift up our sister Anna and ask you to help her, Lord, and give her what she needs. And we just pray, Lord, keep looking up. Janet said that she's trusting in you and times are tough and times are lean. And if I read what she said correctly, she's on food stamps, but she's thanking you, Lord, for the food stamps. We just pray, Lord, for everybody who has a need tonight, that you would meet that need, Father God, and you would meet everybody where they are, and that you would, Lord, and I also pray that we may not have a lot, but everybody has something that they could give. And I pray, Lord, that as we see the day approaching for us, the flight on Flight 777, I pray, Lord, that you make us a very caring people. And I'm not talking just about Christians in general. I'm talking about the NTEB family. Make us all very sensitive to the needs of each other. And where we can fill a need, let us volunteer, Lord. If we can send somebody $20 or help them put food on the table or help them with just anything that we can help them with, Lord, it is my special prayer for the NTEB church family, that you would make us extra, that you would just break our hearts a little bit and make us extra sensitive to the needs of those people around us, that we might be generous with what we have. We may not have a lot, but everybody has something. And Lord, make us givers. Your word said how much more blessed it is it to give than to receive. And let us be givers, Father God, givers of the word, givers of our time, givers of our heart, givers of our treasure, givers of our substance. And most of all, Lord, people who give you to other people. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Carol Jane is also asking, please pray for Paul Kirwan, a Christian young man with terminal brain cancer. Let me see if I'm missing it. Any other, Satman says, please pray for a Catholic friend that I have been witnessing to named Dan. And, I'm just scrolling here through the chat room. If I missed anybody's prayer request, Carolyn A says praying for lost souls. I love the fact that over the years, this Bible study has really it's really like a worship service. And we lift up the Lord and we sing and we pray, we give testimony, we pray for each other, we help each other. I know of a lot of people who come to this chat room who behind the scenes are helping other people in the chat room who need help. And if you need help, reach out, let your need be known, and somebody will help you. And that's one of the things that I love so much about our NTEB family, is that we really look out for each other and we really try and help each other. And we may all never meet face to face, but can you imagine the reunion that we're going to have in the clouds? And after we meet Jesus and we thank him face to face and we have a reunion with each other and all the thousands of people, and now the end begins, who never got to meet face to face, but we meet for Bible study. We meet for the podcast. We meet for the Sunday morning worship service. We share the articles. I love this family that we have, and I feel blessed and grateful to be a part of it, and I hope you do as well. And with that, Nat is saying, how do we connect? Well, here's a real easy way to connect. If you are a person who is in a position to help anybody with anything, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. If you are a person who can help with anything, food, clothes, shelter, books, encouragement, whatever it happens to be, $5, $20, $100, whatever it is. If you are a person that can help somebody else, send me an email. And if you're a person who is going through a season where you could use some help, you send me an email and we'll see about putting everybody together. And that just may be a good way to do it. And with that, we've got to get started on our Bible study. But Lord, be with us tonight and open up the truth of your word in a new and fresh way, Lord. We're a needy people, and we need you is what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, let's open up our Bibles. We are talking about the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And Jesus prophesied. He said that the coming of the Son of Man would be like it was in these days and in these times. In Luke 17, let's start there. Let's start with Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, 26 through 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus is telling us that the end times, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be just like it was in the days of Noah and just like it was in the days of Lot. And so when we look at the Bible, when we look at these time periods, of course, we have to go back to the book of Genesis. And when we go back to the book of Genesis, we find something rather startling. The very first place that we see mention of Lot, Jesus said that the time of Jacob's trouble from Jeremiah 30, verses 5 through 7, and if you haven't heard those verses before, Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7 says, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." This is the time period that Jesus is talking about. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, he touches on that. And he uses the same metaphor that Jeremiah used, talking about what it would look like if we would see a man giving birth, which obviously a man cannot give birth, but everyone is going to be in pain and agony just as if it was a man giving birth. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Paul is picking up that theme, and this is how we know that the time of Jacob's trouble is connected to the time of the Great Tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." That is the same analogy that is used by Jeremiah. And this is how we understand the interpretation of Bible prophecy. It is the old adage of sola scriptura, scripture with scripture. If you have a King James Bible, you have a book that has a built-in dictionary. You have a book that is self-interpreting. And this is why the Roman Catholic Church for 1,200 years worked so hard to keep people away from the Bible, because they didn't want this book instructing, leading, and guiding people, which would lead them to understand that the Catholic Church was the counterfeit church. So for 1,200 years, the Roman Catholic Church waged a campaign against Bible-believing Christians. Some of the things that could have you put to death and burnt at the stake during the 300-year time period of the Spanish Inquisition was owning a Bible for yourself, reading a Bible for yourself, not going to the priest and asking for the official interpretation. You could be burned at the stake and have your entrails pulled out if you did not bow down and worship the Eucharist. Now, I know that that sounds like craziness, and we live in a time period that is so disconnected from history that every once in a while I meet people and they say, there is no way that the Roman Catholic Church burned people and pulled their guts out with metal pliers because they didn't bow down to the Eucharist, because they dared to own a Bible. But you study your history, you go read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometimes, and you'll see very, very clearly the bloody, bloody history of the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 17 talks about that blood. Turn to Revelation 17. We'll get back to this days of Lot and Noah in just a second. But turn to Revelation 17, and I want to show you what the Apostle John saw when he was introduced to the Roman Catholic Church, which would not be created for another 250 years after John wrote the Revelation. But in Revelation 17, the Holy Spirit does this for John, starting in verse 3, Revelation 17, 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So John is being shown an entity that did not exist when John wrote the book of Revelation. He was shown the Roman Catholic Church. That's what Revelation 17 and 18 shows you. It shows you the Vatican harlot system. And John sees something amazing. He sees an entity that is claiming to be the church that Jesus started, drunken with the blood of the Christians that they killed. And John has a really, really hard time trying to wrap his head around this. But this is exactly what the Spirit is showing John. And this is the Roman Catholic Church. So, when we get into the end times, which is where we are, you have to realize that so much Bible prophecy has already been fulfilled and is actively being fulfilled right in front of us, right here and right now. Let me show you a really good example of that. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. The very first time that the name, that the word Lot is mentioned, it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 11. And it's in verse 27. Genesis 11:27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. So in Genesis chapter 11, we see that Terah, T-E-R-A-H, has three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Abram becomes Abraham, and he becomes the father of the Jewish people. Abraham has Isaac, who has Jacob, who has the 12 sons and Benjamin. And Nahor and Haran had kids. One of the kids that Haran had, who is the brother of Abraham, he has a child by the name of Lot. And then verse 28 says, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. So Abram and Nahor, those are the two remaining brothers. And it says the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. So this is where Lot comes from. This is where Lot is born. But when you look at the top of the chapter, it's very interesting time period that Lot is born into. Take a look at the action at the top, starting in verse 1, Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." So this is the Tower of Babel, which means confusion. Okay, God confounded their languages. This is the environment in which Lot is born. It is a time of globalization. It is a time of global building projects. It is a time of a universal language. This is, when you say the days of Lot, this is happening in the exact same chapter. This is happening in the exact context of the beginning of the days of Lot. Now, so we see globalization. We see a one-world structure. We see a one-world system, right? Now turn to the book of Luke. Now turn to the book of Luke, and let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Excuse me. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is, excuse me, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, if you have a Bible version that takes the word taxing and replaces it with the word census, you need to take that Bible and throw it in the garbage. I'll say that again. If you have a Bible that replaces the word tax and taxing from Luke chapter 2 with the word census, you need to take that Bible and throw it in the garbage. And then send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And we will send you a brand new $25 Ruckman Reference Bible, King James, of course. And we'll send that out to you. If you can't afford one, we'll send it out free of charge. Or if you can afford one, but you're taking the Bible upgrade challenge and you throw your NIV in the garbage, we'll replace that with a King James Bible for free. Because when you remove the word tax from Luke chapter 2 and you replace it with census, now you're breaking all the references throughout the entire Bible that show you that in the time of Jacob's trouble under Antichrist, there is a global tax. Daniel 11:20 says, "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. So, if you have a Bible in Luke chapter 2 that replaces the word taxing with census, that Bible was written by somebody who doesn't want you to know that one of the things that the Antichrist does is bring in a global tax. Now, back to Genesis chapter 11. Jesus says in Luke that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like it was in the days of Lot. Lot was born into a time period that was experiencing globalization, global building projects. It had a one-world language. And if you look at the time period that we live in right now, we are experiencing massive globalization. We have a one-world language. If you've been paying even the smallest amount of attention, you would see that the entire world has been marshaled together on a global level to fight this COVID situation. And all over the world, nations are joining forces with each other on a global level. And the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, they are all, Emmanuel Macron, everybody is talking about global, global, global. Well, globalization is what existed when Lot was born. Lot was born into a time that was experiencing globalization under a one-world language. So, that's the first thing that we need to see about the days of Lot. Now, if you go back even 200 years or 300 years, you see that there was not globalization. Go back 1,000 years. There was not globalization. You had all these little individual kingdoms and everybody fighting against everybody else. Even when the nation of America was created, it was created by people who wanted to be left alone in peace. One of the last things that George Washington told the troops, he said, "Beware of foreign entanglements." And George Washington wanted America to stay out of globalization. And that's what this country was founded on. So don't think for a second that everything has been the same for the last couple of thousand years. This one world system that we see being created right now, that is a new thing. Now, they've been working on that ever since the United Nations was started at the end of World War II. In 1945. But before that time, there was not a push for globalization in the days of Spurgeon and Moody. And that's only 120 years ago. There was not globalization, but there absolutely is right now. And that is one of the hallmarks of the days of Lot. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are just setting the table. We are just getting started with our look at how the days of Lot and the days of Noah have returned. We'll be right back.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time won't matter anymore. You land I'm longing
Back for hour two of our Rightly Dividing Bible Study tonight. I'm Jeff Greider. I'm your host and Bible teacher, and tonight we're talking about the days of Lot and the days of Noah. Carolyn in the chat room said, I keep thinking of Paul singing in prison. I want to be like Paul. Well, with the Joe Biden administration that will be sworn in 7 days, we may just get our chance to be like the Apostle Paul in prison. The Republicans are talking about putting Trump supporters in re-education centers, and about a dozen of them are talking like that right now. So we may get our chance to be like the Apostle Paul and Silas when they were chained to the wall of the prison in Philippi. Now, Cheryl had a question about Genesis 11. She said, and let's turn back there for a second, turn back to Genesis 11, verse 4, and Cheryl had a question, Genesis 11, 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Cheryl was asking, did they think that they might be scattered? Is that why they said that? Well, the first city that was built in the Tower of Babel, it's all connected to Cain, who was the first murderer. That's where cities come from. They come from Cain. He was the first city planner. And Hebrews 10:27 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And did the people who were building the Tower of Babel, did they think that they were going to be scattered? Yes, because they were working against God. And there was no Bible back in those days, but God had revealed himself, obviously, to his creation. And they knew that at some point God was going to scatter them. And so that they were working fast and working quickly and kind of like under the cover of darkness to get this tower built. And that's how all people that plot and plan against God. Adolf Hitler was extremely paranoid. And if you look at the Democrats now with Nancy Pelosi and those guys, they look more scared than anything else. And I wrote about that today. You would think that the Democrats, they just won the Congress, the Senate, the White House. You would think that they would be basking in their newfound power, but yet they're running around terrified and they look very anxious. They look afraid. Is when you really, you know, when you first look at them, they just kind of look like they're being arrogant and they want to have their vengeance against Trump and his followers. But when you really look at the things that they're saying and the expressions on their faces, they look afraid to me. And all guilty people are afraid because they know Hebrews 10:27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So back to Genesis chapter 11. Lot, the days of Lot begin in a time of globalization. Now go to Genesis chapter 6 and let's look at the beginning of the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and the days of Noah. Genesis 6:1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, this is the angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what do we have in Genesis chapter 6? We see that the fallen angels, who are called Nephilim, they come down to earth and they take wives of human women and they have sex with them. And these women give birth to these babies, which become Rephaim, which become the giants. The fallen angels procreate with the earthly women, and unto them was born this race of giants. But just as the event that started the days of Lot, which was globalization, the event that started the days of Noah, which is also globalization because the whole world gets flooded, look at Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 22, Genesis 5, 22 through 24. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So at the start of the days of Noah and at the start of the days of Lot, you see in both examples, it is a time of globalization. The flood of Noah was not a localized flood. That flood did not simply take place in the Middle East. And the Bible says that the ark came to rest on the top of Mount Ararat in Turkey. But the flood covered the entire world. And the building project in Genesis chapter 11 of the Tower of Babel, that was a global project. There weren't all that many people on the earth because they all had been wiped out during the flood, except for Noah and his family. So in both situations, Jesus is telling you that the first thing that you have to look for the time of Jacob's trouble, it is a time of globalization. And that is our day. We live in a time of globalization. Now, let's look at Lot in Sodom. Let's take a look at Lot in Sodom. Genesis 13. Look at Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's where Lot wanted to go. And you can just picture it. There was rock and roll music, and there was drinking and smoking and casual sex, and there was gambling, and there was just every type of thing that you could imagine. Think of Sodom like New York City. Think of it like San Francisco. Think of it like any exciting major city, because when you go to all the major cities of the world right now, what do you see? You see all of the vices that were present in Sodom in the days of Lot. So in Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So they weren't just your random run-of-the-mill sinners. They were wicked and sinners exceedingly before the Lord. And so Lot moves there, and he begins to spend his time there. And the book of Jude talks about Lot and tells us, I'm sorry, not Jude, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, let's read verses 4 through 8. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 8. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, there's the hell that Sarah Silverman says does not exist, and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto the day of judgment, and to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wickedness of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So, isn't it interesting that Jesus in Luke says that the time of Jacob's trouble will be like the days of Noah, and it will be like the days of Lot? And here in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is grouping Lot and Noah together in just the same way that Jesus grouped Lot and Noah together. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, that's where we want. Genesis 19, starting in verse 1. Cher is asking, in Genesis 6:4, will the giants come back as well as in these last days? Yes, the giants are going to come back, and we're going to talk about those giants in just a couple of minutes. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So, in Genesis 19:1, the doom of Sodom is being pronounced, and two angels have been sent from heaven to get Lot and his family out of Sodom so that they can destroy it. Now, what we find is this very disgusting thing that takes place. Look in Genesis 19, starting in verse 4. Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out that we might know them. So here we have the people of Sodom, and they are homosexual, and they want Lot to bring the angels out so that they can have their way with them. So what they are telling Lot that they want to do, they are talking about homosexual raping of the two angels. Now, of course, that's not possible. It's not possible for that to take place because there is no human being that is more powerful than an angel. And I think it's in 2 Kings or 1 Kings, Chronicles maybe, where it talks about how an angel killed 185,000 soldiers in a single night. And so there is no group of people on this earth that's more powerful than an angel. But here in Genesis chapter 19, we see this very, very angry homosexual mob, and they're demanding that Lot open the door and release the two angels so that they can have sex with them, so that they can rape them. That's what's happening here in the book of Sodom, in the book of Genesis chapter 19. So the first thing that we learned about the time of the days of Lot and the days of Noah, it's a time of globalization. And it's a time of global building projects. And it's a time where all the world speaks one language. Well, that's our world today. We have a universal language. It's called English. We have a universal form of currency. It's called the dollar. And the entire world, since 1945, has been spending every waking hour working to increase globalization and turning the entire world into a global network. That's one of the reasons why the internet was created. It was created to connect the entire world on a global level. And over the last 26 years, since the internet was released to the public, the entire world has adopted the internet. Everybody is online just about. This program is coming to you via the internet. And the internet is the web. It is the one world system that connects the entire world together. So the first point on our checklist, is it possible that the days of Lot and Noah have returned? Well, we find harmony with that, and the answer to the first question is absolutely yes. Lot was a time of globalization, Noah was a time of globalization, and our time is a time of globalization, but it gets deeper than that. Now, we see in Genesis chapter 19 that the wicked men of Sodom wanted very, very much to have their way sexually with the angels. Now, what do we see in our day? We see absolutely disgusting things, and I'm going to just read a couple of headlines to you. And if you're not, and I'm going to post these in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, you can read any one of these articles by going to nowtheendbegins.com, and you'll be able to do a search and you'll find everything that we're talking about. So here's a headline for you. And as I read this headline, I want you to think about the things that we have been saying about the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and these men wanting to rape the angels. Pedophiles are now calling themselves minor attracted persons and want inclusion inside the LGBTQ plus movement. All right. So one of the things that we see in the 21st century, there is a movement underway to normalize pedophilia. And that's actually been going on for a couple of years now. I would say for the last 4 or 5 years that that's been happening. And it has gotten to the point where it has already been accepted by many colleges and institutions and the American Psychiatric Association is beginning to waffle on this topic. They used to very strongly say that pedophilia was a mental disorder, but now they're starting to lean more towards pedophilia being a lifestyle choice, and it's almost unimaginable that we're even discussing this, but that's what life is like in 2021. We did an article just a couple of days ago about the latest Cadbury Easter egg cream, the Easter cream egg commercial. And we did this article on Cadbury, and it shows two men with a Cadbury Easter egg in their mouth, and they're kind of like kissing each other while they're eating the cream egg. And it's really very unappealing. It's very gross looking. It's very disgusting. But we reported about this. We exposed this. And the people who run GoFundMe, who are, I found out after the fact, a reader named Anna wrote to me. And she said, hey, did you know that GoFundMe is extremely pro-LGBTQ, and that's probably why they banned you from their crowdsourcing network. And I didn't know that, but I know that now. So if you're going to stand for the truth, you're going to get hit. If you're going to stand for the truth, they're going to ban you. They're going to want to censor you. I would highly recommend if you want to do something worthwhile, boycott Cadbury. I don't normally eat Cadbury chocolate, but I'm definitely not eating any now. And these little boycotts, they certainly can be very effective. You would be surprised how effective that they can be. But the point being, we live in a time that glorifies exactly what Sodom and Gomorrah glorified. And we see it in the Catholic Church. We see it in the Church of England. We see it with President-elect Joe Biden. Everywhere that you look, we see it in the transgender movement that are now recruiting children. And we used to warn people about 10 years ago that the LGBTQ movement was going to come for your children. And people used to say that I was guilty of hate speech. And how could I be so mean and cruel and make up stories? And people used to tell me about 10 years ago, there is no way that the LGBT is going to start recruiting children. But what do we see in 2021? We see 8-year-old transgenders. We see the president-elect of the United States vowing on day one that he is going to stand up for transgender children and he's going to change the laws. That's Joe Biden. Take a listen to Joe Biden.
I'm the proud mom of 2 girls, 8 and 10. My youngest daughter is transgender. The Trump administration has attacked the rights of transgender people, banning them from military service, weakening non-discrimination protections, and even removing the word transgender from some government websites. How will you, as president, reverse this dangerous and discriminatory agenda and ensure that the lives and rights of LGBTQ people are protected under U.S. law?
I will flat out just change the law. Eliminate those executive orders, number one.
So there's President-elect of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., and he is telling you, he's promised that on day one, that would be in 8 days from today, on day one, Joe Biden has promised that he is going to, quote, flat out change the laws, end quote, and he is going to change the laws that now protect children to make them laws that allow children to be sucked into the transgender recruitment movement. And it is almost unimaginable what's happening. And we warned about this. Going back 12 years, we told you that this day was coming. This day is here right now. And this is exactly what it was like in Sodom in Genesis 19 in the days of Lot. Hal was talking about a billboard where he lives that shows Satan performing an abortion. Well, we did an article just a couple of months ago, I think back in December of 2020. We did an article where Match.com shows a very graphic, muscular Satan meeting a woman named 2020 on a date that was arranged by Match.com, which is an online dating website. This was Satan having a romantic date with a woman named 2020. And this is how burned out and how seared the souls and the consciences of people have become in 2021. And what did Jesus say? He said it was going to be like the days of Lot. So if we are living in the time of the days of Lot, what would we expect to see? Genesis 13:13 said what? Genesis 13:13 said, and that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that's what we see in 2021. We see things that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that are not only glorified in our day, but they have become a protected class. If you live in Canada, and we have a lot of listeners in Canada, if you live in Canada, you know that in certain parts of Canada, that if you intentionally misgender somebody, which means that if you know that, you know, a transgender woman, which is really a man, if you know that the woman that you're talking to is really a man, and you turn to that person and say, have a good day, sir. There's a law in Canada that says that you can be fined, and depending on how egregious your sin was, they can even put you in jail for up to 3 months in the nation of Canada if you misgender somebody. That's how crazy things have gotten, but that is exactly what it was like in the days of Lot. So you might say to me, well, if it's the days of Lot right now, are we in the time of Jacob's trouble? And the answer is no. We are not in the time of Jacob's trouble, but we are in the church age. But our church age is coming to a close, and all dispensations in the Bible, when one dispensation is closing, the other generation is coming in under that, so that they pass each other very, very briefly. So for the last 10, 12, 15 years, we have seen America and the entire world, it's not just America, but we have seen in the last 10, 12 years, an absolute unbelievable push forward towards legalizing and glorifying everything that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for. And that was started under Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Joe Biden is now going to be the next president of the United States. And you heard him say that on day one, he's going to flat out change the law, and he is going to institute laws that will help, well, do what? Recruit more children to the LGBTQ. Can you imagine if you were a parent and your child, they picked up poison, and instead of ripping that poison out of their hand, you just said, well, they need to experience life to the fullest, so I'm just going to sit back and let my child eat poison. Well, what's physical poison for your body? Allowing your child to become an 8-year-old transgender, that's not freedom. That's not progress. That's child abuse. That is absolutely child abuse. That is wicked, wicked sin. And the type of person who would allow their child to do that at the age of 8 years old, I mean, that shows you the level of spiritual depravity that we live in. And it has gotten so bad that if the LGBT were to hear me making these remarks, they would come at me and they would say that I was engaging in hate speech when I'm telling them that they're the ones who are provoking the wrath of God, not me. I'm trying to point these things out. I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to warn people. But just as in the days of Sodom, when those wicked men that were wicked exceedingly above sinners in Sodom, and when those two new angels came to town, those two new men, and all they wanted was to have their hands on them, we live in exactly that same time period now. With that, we have, wow, the time is really going fast tonight. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back, and we still have a lot more to talk about, so please stay with us. We're back for the last hour of our Rightly Dividing Bible study tonight. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And we can see that we absolutely are living in a time period that is astonishingly similar to the days of Lot. And the LGBTQ has risen to such a degree and with such power that even the president-elect of the United States has promised on the very first day that he's in power, that's 8 days from today, that he is going to pass an executive order regarding the creation and establishment and protection of transgender children as young as 8 years old. And you don't think that God's judging America right now? You don't think that the 20,000 troops that are stationed around Washington, D.C., we have basically reverted to a state of civil war. And this country is being shaken to its very core right now. You don't think that's God doing it? I think it is. I think this is absolutely God's judgment on America. And these are the things that we're seeing right now, and they are very sobering things. They are very, on some levels, even though I have good faith and strong faith, and I stand on that book, that King James Bible, that word of a king, and I believe it and I trust it, and that's my source of authority. But man, oh man, some of these things, they're sobering things, they're scary things that are happening. But Joe Biden said 6 years ago, Joe Biden said that Bible-believing Christians were a threat to the LGBTQ community. And in 2015, when he was still the Vice President of the United States, he was very hostile towards Bible-believing Christians. He is a liberal Catholic, and I don't think Catholics are Christians, at least not biblically. But Joe Biden's not even a good Catholic. The Catholic Church is mostly against abortion. Joe Biden is very much for abortion. Joe Biden is basically in favor of most of the things that the Catholic Church teaches about. But Pope Francis has found lots to love about Joe Biden, because now that Joe Biden's going to be the president, Francis needs to have that reflected power. So Pope Francis, he doesn't care one whit about Joe Biden being pro-abortion. Pope Francis doesn't care one bit about Joe Biden being in favor of due date and third trimester abortions, because Pope Francis wants access to that seat of power, because he is the king of Vatican City. And when you read Revelation 17 and 18, you see that that leader of the one world religion, he is also a political leader. And that's what Pope Francis is. He is the king of Vatican City, as well as the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. You read about Vatican City in Revelation 18, and you read about the Roman Catholic Church in Revelation 17. Now, so that covers the days of Lot. And I think that you can see, and I could give you literally 500 more examples of how the LGBTQ has taken control of not just American society, but again, global society. And everywhere you go, if you're not part of the new program, if you're not on board, then you're out. And I've already shared with you, I've been fired from multiple jobs. I just got banned 3 days ago on GoFundMe, because we dared to expose the Cadbury chocolate people with their disgusting TV commercial. And I'm glad that I did it. It cost me about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars in donations that GoFundMe returned back to the people who sent them in. But when you take a stand for the things that the Bible says that we should take a stand for, a lot of the times there's a cost attached to it. And that article that I wrote cost me about $4,000, because that's the amount of donations that GoFundMe, when they banned me, they returned. But that's fine. The Lord sees all. The Lord will work that out. And I'm not worried about that at all. But that's, I'm just telling you that when you stand for Bible truth, it's going to come with a cost. Now, the second thing that we want to talk about is the days of Noah. And I showed you in Genesis chapter 5, the days of Noah started with the one person Enoch of the one person rapture of Enoch. And Enoch was taken up off the face of the earth, and that is what was the jump start to the start of the days of Noah. So, if we are where we think we are going to see the return of people from outer space. That's what the fallen angels are, and their children, the Genesis 6 giants, we are going to see them coming back. So, you might ask me, are you telling me that you're saying that we're going to see the return of the Genesis 6 giants? Yes, absolutely. It will come in the form of space aliens. But those of us who are Bible believers, we know that space aliens do not exist. There is no such thing as little green men on Mars. But there are fallen angels. And all of that is going to come back because Jesus said that it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Now, let me just read a couple of headlines for you. We wrote this on April 28th of 2020. The Pentagon formally releases three UFO videos taken by Navy pilots, verifies that videos are real, and confirms that the encounters are authentic. So, you had three times in 2020, in April, May, June, well, I guess four times, and in August, you had the United States Pentagon telling people that UFOs are real and they exist. We told you back on December 7th about the retired Israeli general, Chaim Eshed. And General Eshed said that both Israel and the United States over the last 2 years, 3 years, have been in direct communication with what he calls space aliens. And General Eshed said that's why President Trump created the Space Force. And this man is not a crackpot. This man is a very sober-minded, highly decorated, respected Israeli military general. He's retired now, but he was in the Israeli military for nearly 30 years. He's been decorated. He has served honorably. He has written books. He is known to be an intellectual. He is known to be, he's a very well-respected person. And he shocked the world when he said, casually, but soberly and seriously, he said, absolutely, Israel and the United States have been in touch with extraterrestrials. And he said it like it was the most matter-of-fact thing that you could ever possibly think of. Well, let me throw this into the mix. We told you back on July 25th of 2020 that the Pentagon released a statement where they said that they have recovered objects and vehicles. That's a quote. The Pentagon said last summer that they were in possession of objects and vehicles that were not made on this earth. That's what the Pentagon said. So what are we seeing? We're seeing, on a global level, we are seeing people who are very, very credible. We are seeing people like General Eshed. We are seeing writers and intellectuals and people who are not known to be conspiracy theory people or crackpots or anything of that nature. The United States Pentagon has admitted that they are in frequent contact with visitors that are not of this world. And not only that, they have videos that they have released. And what does that show you? That shows you that the days of Noah, now I already proved to you that the days of Lot have returned. And in 2020, and this was something that did not happen before 2020, all those crazy things that took place, and in a time of extreme craziness, sometimes you overlook things. Sometimes there's so much news happening that you forget other incredible stories, but you can mark it down. 2020 was the year that the United States Pentagon said, yes, we are in regular contact with UFOs and space aliens. Now, that's not my opinion. That's not my interpretation. I am telling you what the U.S. Pentagon has officially released. And they've even created this group. And let me just see if I can pull up the name real fast. They have created this group called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. It is an official part of the Pentagon. That's how much extraterrestrial activity is taking place. So, looking forward, we are still in the first 13 days of 2021. Remember last year and all the programs that we did in the last 3 or 4 months of 2020? And remember how I kept saying that as crazy as 2020 was, it was only the warm-up for what was coming? And think about all the stuff that has taken place since this year started, and we're only in the 13th day of the first month. Now, what are some of the things that you may expect to see happening in this year? Well, I think this may be the year where there is going to be some serious forward movement regarding the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. I have been hearing some credible reports coming in that 2021 may be the year where you're going to hear some announcements and things are going to be put in place to get the ball rolling to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And I am still investigating that, but the reports that I've seen so far, they're actually credible. And we may just see some very serious forward movement regarding the rebuilding of the Jewish temple, and we may see that this year. Another thing that I think is highly likely that we may see this year, contact with aliens. For the last 4 or 5 years, they've been gradually stepping us up. And in 2020, they had multiple press releases telling you and preparing you for the day when they're going to show us these aliens that they've been in contact with. And I say this very seriously and very soberly, 2021 may just be the year where we're going to see headlines in the newspaper, Pentagon releases relationship with space aliens, and this may be the year where we see them. And you might say to me, well, that sounds like crazy talk, but it's not crazy talk. There have been dozens of stories in the last 12 to 18 months of governments admitting that they are in touch with entities that are not part of our planet. The United States Pentagon says that they are in possession of objects and vehicles that were not made on the Earth. Now, how is that possible? So, are they lying? Maybe they are lying, but I don't think so, because we are, if we're as close to the rapture as it feels like we are, then these are the type of things that you're going to see right before we go up into the rapture. Have you ever seen those movies what was that movie with John Cusack? Great movie called 2012. Have you ever seen that movie? My buddy Craig and I were talking about this movie a couple of days ago. And there's a scene in this movie where John Cusack and somebody else, they're flying a plane, and the plane is dipping down, and on the Earth, all this stuff is blowing up and things are exploding and buildings are crumbling. But this plane is pulling up and it's almost being touched by the explosions, but it's just out of reach as this plane takes off to safety. That's a great picture of the rapture of the church. And I think that's going to be the situation on the ground when we're taken out of here in the rapture. I think we're going to see the space aliens before we go. I think we're going to see the plans to start the building of the temple before we go. And I'm not talking 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I'm talking this year. And I'm not setting any date. I'm not calling a month or a number. But with each passing day, this year, 2021, really feels like it is the year for some. 2020 was the year that blew everybody's mind, right? But let me tell you something. 2021 is going to make 2020 look like nothing. Can you imagine the day that the newspaper headlines say president and space alien, whatever they're going to be called? They're not going to be called space alien. They'll give them some sort of a name. But can you imagine the very, very first time that you see the news report of the of whatever government, probably our government? But can you imagine what it is going to do to people's minds the first time it's reported, yep, we've been in contact with the aliens and here they are. We'd like you to meet them. It feels like this year is going to be the year for that. And so as we continue into this crazy, even crazier year than 2020, I want you to be mentally prepared for anything. I want you to be mentally prepared for the revelation of the Genesis 6 giants coming back. I want you to be mentally prepared for the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. There was a story today, and I didn't have time to do it, and I have been so busy. It has been on, and I'm very, very happy to be this busy. I really am. But I missed a couple of really good stories that I wanted to write about. And one of them, let me see if I can find it. Lori D sends me a lot of stories. I can't find it. But there was this story that took place, and I think it was on the Jerusalem Post. And Netanyahu, let me see if I can just find this story real fast. Netanyahu was talking about a new age has dawned with Israel and the Middle East. Oh, where is that story? But Netanyahu today was talking about the incredible new age that has dawned with relations in the Middle East with Israel and her Muslim neighbors. And he's talking about peace and safety. And man, oh man, it is like, don't these people ever read the Bible? And just today, Netanyahu was talking about a new age of peace and safety for Israel with their Muslim slash Arab neighbors. And we all know that it's a trick. It's a trap. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Here it is. UAE Israel Business Summit 2021, going towards a new era of growth, peace, and stability. And Israel is excited that they have made peace with their neighbors. Now, you and I know that that leads right to the Daniel 9:27 covenant. And that's what the Abraham Accords really actually are. And how incredible is it that you and I are watching these things with our eyes and we're hearing these things with our ears. And yet there are Christians who have no idea what's going on. Now, lost people have no idea what's going on because they don't have the Spirit of God, and they don't have biblical and scriptural and spiritual discernment. But a lot of the Laodicean Christians, they're saved. They'll go in the rapture, but they don't know what's going on. Why? Habakkuk 1:5. Let's memorize this verse together. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And I'm here to tell you that that is happening right now. So in 2021, I think we have made a fairly substantial case that a lot, if not all of the things related to the days of Lot and the days of Noah, they are now present in our day. They were not present in the time of Moody and Spurgeon. Nobody in 1863 was talking about space aliens. Nobody in 1892 was talking about globalization. That didn't happen until the 20th century, and it didn't really pick up steam until after World War II. So this modern global era is really a very, very new thing, and it's unique to our generation. So we see that the days of Lot have returned. We see that the days of Noah have returned. And that's why I am telling you, in 2021, do not be surprised when you watch that news report and they are showing you the space aliens. They are showing you the spaceship. They are sharing with you the new technology that is being created, because this is how Antichrist comes in. And for decades, people who talked about space aliens were called crazy. And in 2021, the Pentagon said, no, you're not crazy. We've been working with these people for a while. We have objects, we have vehicles, we've been in touch with them, we have lots of videos with them. And all of a sudden, with no fanfare, it was just, yeah, they're real. And just like that, the switch was flipped. And that's exactly the same casualness that they're going to use when they actually bring out the space aliens. And that is likely going to happen in this year. The rebuilding of the temple is going to pick up speed likely in this year. The rapture of the church, I don't know about you, but more and more I'm feeling it. Sometime in the end of April, sometime maybe in the month of May, right around Pentecost on May 23rd. Lord willing, we are going to be holding an NTEB prophecy conference, and it's going to be Pentecost weekend. And we are intentionally holding our prophecy conference 2 days before Pentecost, because of the fact that the book of Song of Solomon talks about a springtime rapture. Now, are we saying that the rapture is going to happen in the month of May? No, we are not saying that. But we're going to hedge our bets. We're going to have our prophecy conference on May 21st and 22nd. So I want you guys to be checking off those dates on your calendar. And in about a month or so, we're going to start having registrations for this prophecy conference. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be 2 days of preaching and singing and fellowship. And it's going to be really, really exciting. Me and my buddy Andy, we're planning that out. We've been talking about it for months, but we took pen to paper and we started to actually flesh it out today. So please, if you're able to travel, mark your calendars for May 21st and May 22nd of 2021, and pray about attending the NTEB Prophecy Conference. And I think that that will be a blessing. Kathleen is asking, will the conference be virtual for those people who don't want the vaccine and cannot travel? Yes, it will be virtual, but we strongly urge anyone who can travel to travel. And, you know, we have no idea what it's going to be like. We have no idea if and when Joe Biden becomes president, or miraculously Donald Trump is able to hold on for another 4 years. That would be quite the feat to pull off at this point, but maybe he can. Let's see what happens. But yeah, we are going into a time of great confusion where everything is going to be up for grabs. But we're going to go forward with this prophecy conference. And if you can make it, mark your calendars May 21st and 22nd for the first ever and maybe the last ever NTEB Prophecy Conference. Now, with that, we've come to the end of our time. Great attendance in the chat room today. If you want a King James Bible and you can't afford one, please email me info@nowtheendbegins.com and we'll mail you out one. And please pray about specifically being a blessing to somebody else, especially within our NTEB family. If you know somebody that needs groceries, or they need clothes, or they need something, and you can help them, even if it's just a little bit, I want you to pray about, let's really help each other. Let's really band together, and so much as we're able to do it, let's see if we can take care of each other's needs and be a blessing to each other while we wait for Flight 777 to take off. Thank you so much for being part of this broadcast tonight, Lord willing. We'll see you back here on Friday, noon Eastern time, for another episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. I'm all tongue-tied tonight, but thank you so much for being a part. Have a great night, everybody.